33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. It's a massive store of groundwater that quenches the thirst of people, crops, and livestock throughout the Great Plains. The Ogallala Aquifer extends from roughly Midland through the Texas Panhandle all the way up to South Dakota. In fact, this is the aquifer that makes the current way of life on the plains possible. So, what happens if it depletes? Well, that's a question more and more people are thinking about, including Robert Lascano. He is a wind erosion and water conservation research leader for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and he's based in Lubbock. Dr. Lascano, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you, David.
This issue of the possibility of depletion, is that hypothetical, theoretical, or is there a real danger of depletion at this point?
No, this is an ongoing process that we've known that is going to happen. Just a little bit of background information. The geology of this aquifer is such that it does not allow input of water. In other words, the water can only be pulled out, but no water goes in. Whereas, for example, in Nebraska, you can do so. So once that water is used, that water table is going to go down. And that's what's happening. You know, it's been in use for the last 50, 75 years. It will still be here, but there's going to be a lot less water.
Okay, so, I mean, when do you reach that critical moment? Can you give us a sense of the current status?
Yes. Well, what has happened is, in Texas, the law is that if you own the land, you own the water
right
beneath it. So that's always a contentious issue. And, for example, one of the districts here, the High Plains Water District, has done an extensive and intensive analysis of allowing the depletion so that only about 50% of the aquifer is depleted. And that changes by geographic region. For example, in certain parts, for example, near Plainview, Texas, there's plenty of water, so that water can be used with no restrictions whatsoever, whereas in other parts, there's a lot less water.
Well, now, let's back up for just a moment, because if it's foreseeable that you're a rancher, you're a farmer, you're relying on that aquifer, and you have to depend only on rainfall, I mean, how much will that change your life, the quality of life, or what would this do to from an agricultural standpoint?
Well, from an agricultural point of view, what is happening right now is that farmers are already confronted with their issue. So they are diversifying. They're using other crops. They're doing rotation with other crops. They're only irrigating certain parts of their field. They're making better use of what has happened to that water. I'll give you just in case where technology sometimes is an area that we know it can service water, but at the same time, it contributes to the problem. Subsurface irrigation is the most efficient form of irrigation that we have. But what has happened is that the subsurface drip has been introduced to areas where before there was no irrigation. So high technology makes the farmers be able to use that water, but it's also contributing to its depletion. So they realize that this is something that's already taking place. And it's going to affect the entire, not just the agriculture area, but also the urban area.
How so? How will it affect urban areas?
Well, I'll give you another example. I live in the southern part of the city where we, outside the city limits, we have drilled our own well at our property to be able to make use of that for daily living. There's a house there. It's a multimillion-dollar home that the well went dry. Well, when that happened, the real estate value of that house dropped. People are already paying attention to it. One of the things that we're doing in our research is to be able to demonstrate that you can still sustain long-term irrigation and long-term agriculture in the High Plains by making better use of the water that we have.
But still, I mean, you're talking about, if I understand you correctly, there's no real way, if you're going to continue to tap that aquifer, there's no way to avoid depleting it, right? I mean, is it possible?
That is correct. The only way that you can save water is by turning the well off. And that's not going to happen just because it is the economic reality. Farmers will continue to use the water, but it has to make economic sense. It's going to reach a point where pumping that water is going to become so expensive that you're no longer going to be able to afford irrigation. Probably about 10% of some of the areas have reached a point where they have to turn off the irrigation because they don't have enough irrigation to water the crops.
But what strikes me is that we could be seeing a radical change in the quality of life, the way of living across the U.S. plains.
Let me put it this in perspective to you, David. We are actually more or less returning to the way this land was done by the pioneers that came in here 100, 150 years ago. When they came in, irrigation did not exist. The technology was not there. They had to use windmills and then with a combustion engine, then they started developing the irrigation. We are more or less going to be returning to that aspect of life, not at a much larger scale, but there is going to be a decrease in the amount of irrigated areas that we have, but there's going to be a corresponding increase in the amount of dry land that we have in order to be able to meet the market demands.
And in terms of a timeline, we're talking 50 years, 100 years, when we're seeing that fundamental change?
Yeah, it's going to be, I would say, probably within 50 years, you're going to see a lot more areas that are particularly dry land as opposed to the way they are now with very little irrigation.
Robert Lascano is based in Lubbock, where he's the Wind Erosion and Water Conservation Research Leader for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dr. Lascano, thanks so much for speaking with us on the Texas Standard.
Not at all, David. My pleasure.